Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5, brought to you by Dan Cummins. They're in Paris and Georgetown.
Perfect timing.
All the guys would say she's mighty fine. I'm just saying.
Don't listen to the rest of the song.
No, that's all we care about is the beginning.
That's the only part that we can.
Yeah, that's all we care about. I don't even know what comes after that.
It wasn't the part of the song that people sang to me in the hallways of high school.
Yeah, no, I would imagine not.
Oh, memories. Anyway, hi, Caroline Darney.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Okay, first, before we get to some sports stuff, I want you, because we always, every week, talk about how great, hilarious, clever, all those words, your Twitter account is, at CW Darney, D-A-R-N-E-Y. I need to know what this show is that you're watching that you haven't been that nervous since the national championship game or something. What are you watching?
So I have been a longtime fan of MTV's The Challenge, which originated as a competition show between cast members from Road Rules and Real World. It's been going on forever.
Yeah.
It feels like. Let's see, the first one debuted in 1998.
Hello.
Yes, oh. I happened to have the Wikipedia page open. So.
Don't lie. You've known that.
I didn't actually. That's surprising. That was like, I mean, that had people like Puck and Eric and like Rachel. Anyway, like the original.
Oh boy.
Like World. All those folks.
You were two when that show was on.
Yeah, but, let's go with that.
Okay, but anyway. All right. So now they have The Challenge.
Yeah. So it's all the same. Like there are still some people that have been, I think now it's a career for some of these folks, because I think they get paid appearance fees.
Yeah. They have to. Right.
But they compete for, now the prizes are up to like $1 million, and they've had great seasons where they did the Prisoner's Dilemma thing, where you both have to decide whether or not you share the money. And if one person says share and one says keep, then the person who says keep gets all of it, but mm-hmm. if both say keep, then nobody gets it, like that whole thing. They've had seasons where been in teams, and competitors that had the most individual points on the final challenge got to decide if they shared at all with their competitor, and a guy kept like the whole million and didn't give any to his partner.
And then he turned up dead. Like,
he's on the season, Johnny Bananas.
Johnny Bananas? So,
yeah.
It's his given name.
It's his given name. It's his, full one first name. Giannis watches the show, the basketball player. The last night they had my favorite competitor that's been on this thing like probably 10, 15 times, CT, was a Real World.
Oh my Lord.
Paris was, I think, one he was on, was in an elimination challenge. And spoiler alert for people listening that
at least there's
devastated.
But at least there's actual good competition on TV. Sports related. It's just, it's a competition.
Well, wait a minute. This is my question. What is The Challenge? What is that?
Yeah. So last night, so usually they have anywhere from like 30 competitors. They're either on teams or compete individually or in pairs, whatever it is. This season's individual. And sometimes they pair up. They've done it before where it's two big teams. Mm-hmm. They've done it where you were paired with an ex that has been on the show before, or a rival, like whatever. So there's a competition, a physical competition that picks a winner of the week, and that person is generally safe from elimination.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of deliberation and gameplay and strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
People think they have good strategy, okay. And then you'd vote in people to an elimination challenge. Oh. And then the winners come back, the losers go home.
So last night they had
to decipher a code and then run a bunch of miles. And if they got it right first, they got to blow up a truck. So that's
why. Now I get it. Now I see the fascination.
They're in the Czech Republic. They can blow anything up right now.
Okay. You didn't say that. If they're there.
Not very Chernobyl.
Okay, but But I am disregarding your tweet that you were as nervous as during the national championship game.
I said since. It's the
Since. Okay. No, that's a big distinction. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about, not that that's not important. I don't mean to imply that. Here's something that we need to talk about. And you sent it to me and said, please be true. A home-and-home series between Virginia and Kentucky is rumored to be in the works.
Ooh.
Really?
Well, so since that has been, since it was tweeted, one of my buddies went back and looked because they referenced, I think, one of the, you know, Kentucky Live or something Instagram. And it's rumored to be in the works in the loosest of possible ways. As in, like, probably someone once said, like, I work at Kentucky. It'd be cool if they played Virginia. Like, that's probably where we're at.
It was just spoken.
For a brief moment, it got everyone. I think it would be so cool if they did it, just because, like, it'd be great. It'd be so much fun. And I don't, I want to go to Rupp and see a game. Like, I think it'd be an incredible atmosphere at JPJ.
Oh, yeah.
To come to town.
Yeah, it would be
really good, like a really good marquee non-con game that you have that you don't get to see. Like, when was the last, I could not tell you the last time those two teams played each other.
If they've ever played each other, I mean, number one, number two, with the kind of offense that Kentucky plays, that whole dribble drive, all the stuff in the transition, and to see them play and watch Tony Bennett work his magic. Oh,
be great.
Oh, I agree.
To slow them down, and then the offense would have to pass Kentucky's length, athleticism. Like, granted, it'd be interesting, especially, it would be really tough, and I don't want to get Kentucky fans mad at me. 94% of your scoring coming off of this season, eight players, I think it's eight now, is that right?
Well, the whole Keon Brooks is back. He's by himself. He's over in the gym shooting now because he has no teammates. Basically.
He's literally by himself, both in social isolation.
Yeah, correct.
Physically on the team.
Correct. Look, you can say that, but every Kentucky fan is also thinking it. They just haven't said it out loud yet. So you're not saying anything.
Would be, they'd be like, "What a homer!" Like, I think it'd be really tough for this team losing that many people to come up, like, to have to face a Virginia team that knows its identity and is returning a lot of people and adding. You know, Sam Hauser and a couple of the new incoming first years.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe this year might not be the most exciting time to do it.
Well, you know, like, what? Hold
it. Fans would be like, let's do it right now.
Yeah, they would, but.
Really good freshman.
Even though we just found out that this was somebody going, it'd be cool if Virginia and Kentucky play, this ain't happening next year. If this happens by some miracle, this is 3 years down the road. Their schedules are already set for next year. Come on.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't know.
I know football, they do up to like 6 years in advance.
And usually basketball, they have.
Depends on what it is basketball-wise when it comes to, like, they're still finalizing some of the non-con right now.
Okay.
And I'm curious how things might change, if at all.
Right, with the season.
They could,
Yeah. If there is a season.
I don't know if they'd have to pay Kentucky less than they would mid-major. You know, so when we're talking about buy games, like, who's requiring more money? Like, because if you, and I don't know how this works, this would be, like, I'm just conjecture type thing.
We like
if
that.
If you bring a team that you know you're going to beat or expect to beat by 30.
You pay them more.
To town, you pay them more.
Right,
Whereas, you know, if you have a marquee matchup between Virginia and Kentucky, they're going to make more on the gate than they would if Kentucky was playing, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor.
Correct.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you might see a couple more of those big matchups because schools can't afford to pay the smaller schools as much, or are the smaller schools going to take less money because they really need it? So
that's interesting.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's, I mean, when you take a break from whatever you're watching, like,
when I saw the Marvel movie, now I got to start over at the beginning.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's, because you are the guru, not just of Virginia basketball, because we know that that's the most important team to you, but you of all, you're the guru of all college basketball for SB Nation.
It's a lot to live up to, yeah.
Well, but you do every time. Let's talk about that, about Kentucky. How are they losing 8 guys from this team, and Matt Harms still hasn't said he's coming here, which we all think he is.
That would be, I mean, it would make sense. I mean,
of course.
Well, I think that'd be really interesting. I think you would want to go to a team where you obviously have a bunch of playing time immediately.
That's us.
Which you would if you went to Kentucky.
Yes.
I need to dig into Kentucky's recruiting class. How big is it now?
Well, it's big enough where it's the number one recruiting class, and I've already, even with these guys leaving, I've seen all these projections, and they're just projections, where we're still like ranked third or fifth or second.
And that was without Davion Mintz coming in and potentially Matt Harms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm also curious, and I don't know, there's been a lot of talk today. Obviously, Jalen Green just announced they're giving him a G League team.
Yes, apparently.
I don't know how that's possible. I really, really need the background on what G League recruiting is.
Well, they are actively.
How that all went down.
They're actively now going after recruits. Like the G League.
It's fascinating to me because also, really, when you think about the one-and-done rule, right?
Yeah.
That's not a college rule. That's
right.
An NBA rule.
Correct.
Because the Players Association. So are they not anxious or going to address the fact that now more college, younger guys are taking spots on G League teams? Because that's also where players are going to continue to compete to try and make a roster.
I that's exactly right. But so far,
what happens there?
Well, I don't think they've addressed that yet. And the thing is, it's not like we're going to get 100 recruits going to the G League.
No.
But there will be significant, even if 10 of them that would be going to college decide to use this. That changes the landscape pretty drastically. So, we'll have to see, but this was big news. You know, some of the only big news we have to talk about on the show is this G League thing.
I think I'm less concerned. Maybe I need to be more concerned. I don't know. Yes, you lose a couple. This is like this would potentially, you lose the Zions, right?
Yeah. Maybe.
But I honestly think Zion might have actually come to college. The question is now for me is kind of like, okay, let's all look at this. Like, NCAA, first of all, could really just fix this by allowing the likeness. Allow these guys to make some money on the side, and this is legitimately not an issue.
Right.
You don't have to pay them.
Right.
Somebody else pays them.
Yeah.
But whatever. When you look at it, I'm kind of like, Jalen Green was warm on 24/7 or on these recruiting sites to either Memphis, Auburn, or Oregon was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be a dramatic change in ratings for any of those teams?
I don't know.
Depending on who.
And he wasn't hyped up the way you hype up a Zion. You know?
Right.
Like Ben Simmons going to LSU just meant LSU was on TV a few more times.
Yeah, because he is the number. Well, like you said, there's a difference, and just because you're the number one prospect doesn't mean you're Zion, where you're the number one, but you're also the once in a generation. You know.
Yeah, and comparing anyone to Zion is honestly unfair. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's a whole separate issue.
Even if it's like, and I don't want to be, potentially if the guys aren't going to the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the, you know, Villanovas and the Kansases of the world, I think that's a different story. And this sounds really judgy. I don't know how, like, if it's coming across right, but like, so far I don't think any of the quote-unquote blue bloods are really missing out on any of that talent still.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that it's potentially not as... I've seen a lot of, like, cheering the downfall of the NCAA today, or like, this means the end.
Right,
that
yeah.
Kind of thing. No. I don't think I'm there. Like, that's kind of what I'm saying.
Right, yeah. All right, well, we'll just have to see. But, you know, at least it's sports. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
I love... Hey, there's something to talk about.
Right.
I know. All right.
And not just guessing. Or
well,
like,
So you're watching... we got to let you go, but you're watching The Challenge, but what's next up on our Marvel movie list?
So I finished all the Marvels.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go around to DC then.
Oh, no thanks.
Ew.
I mean, yeah, maybe. So I'm working on something, you know, professing my love for Tom Holland as Spider-Man. So
oh, good.
I did my
okay.
I'm trying to do my due diligence, and I went and watched the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider-Man. Well, that was big of you.
One and two are good enough.
Are they?
Don't come on. They're not Tom Holland.
No, they're not Tom Holland. And they're they're 20 years ago now or more.
Really?
Well, don't watch three.
That's against the Geneva Convention, I think. So.
Yeah. Unless you want to see Tobey Maguire walking down the street throwing finger guns.
Hey.
Oh boy.
Hard pass. But okay. No, you're right. For stuff in 2002, 2004, honestly, the graphics and the special effects were pretty good. And Willem Dafoe is always great because he's crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying their relationship.
Yeah.
What? Okay, really? You're saying Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst didn't have chemistry?
God. And also they're all like 27 when they're filmed in the first one, and they're supposed to be
in high school. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's stop being so negative, people. These are real people we're talking about.
Yeah, Spider-Man's a real person.
No, I mean, as an actor, I feel for them when they get talked badly about. That's all.
I'm sorry. It's nothing personal. I just didn't quite buy the relationship.
All right. Okay. All right. Don't forget you have something else to watch tonight.
I do.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you next week. You're the Thanks, greatest guys. With a capital G.
Thanks.
Okay.
Stay
safe.
Bye.
We may never talk real sports with her again.
Yeah. I sense a deep dive into the 1989 Circus of the Stars. 88 Circus of the Stars. Yeah. I sense a deep video rewind like they do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. It's what we need.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
I'm
which, by the way, if you missed, I don't think we talked about it this time in the show yesterday.
No,
but
we didn't.
We posted it on our Twitter at ESPN Radio Lex of you, Matthew, riding on a broken bike on a tightrope.
Yeah, 20 feet in the air.
Yeah, a couple meters in the air.
Walking the high wire with baskets on my feet.
It's pretty awesome.
Circus of the Stars.
Go to our Twitter.
All right, I've got our next guest on the line. He's not going to know what's happening. He just heard you talking about baskets on your feet.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll explain it to him.
Good luck.
All right. When we come back, Donald Davidson will join us from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and this is Beyond Cool. Speaking of cool, because we were talking about me, this is Beyond Cool. I'm humble. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.